Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
SpringFest means more sun, more fun, and more free at Lowe's. Keep your yard in line with an additional free Ego 56-volt battery when you buy a select Ego mower, trimmer, or blower. Plus, keep landscaping fresh with Stay-Green 1-cubic-foot garden soil, 5 bags for $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4A. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Hey, who's in on Cardinal baseball? I mean, come on now. This team is entertaining, are they not? Are they not right on brand? They told you. They said they were going to be entertaining. They were going to be full of fight. They were going to be loud. Well, two games in, and they are a fun group to watch. Cardinal baseball coming your way at 1:15 today as the Cardinals take on the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays came in with a 7-1 lead in the top of the sixth on opening day and watched it evaporate. They lost that game 9-7. The Rays came in yesterday down 4-0. In the ninth inning, and they put 4 on the board against this Cardinals bullpen that needs to be reevaluated as to what is going wrong. It was Matt Swanson and Ryan Stanek who gave up the runs. And then the Rays scored again in the top of the 10th, and they took a 5-4 lead. For the rest of the story, we turn to our Redbird recap. Let's hear from our broadcasters.
The Redbird Recap is sponsored by Helitech Waterproofing and Foundation Repair. Heal your home with Helitech.
With Ricky Horton, I'm John Rooney. Tampa Bay tied the game with 4 in the ninth, but J.J. Weatherholt ended the game in the bottom of the 10th.
The pitch to Weatherholt is grounded to the right side. Base hit! The Cardinals tie it! Here comes Jordan Walker! The play at the plate! Not in time! The Cardinals walk it off! With rookie J.J. Weatherholt, the Cardinals win it by a score of 6-5. How about that ending?
What a thrilling win, but it overshadows a great start by Michael McGreevy.
Michael McGreevy was outstanding, did not give up a hit in his 6 innings of work. He was unbelievably good.
Jordan Walker triggered 2 rallies, a 2-run eighth, and then he scored the winning run in the 10th inning.
He didn't chase some tough pitches, and he is becoming a threat at the plate.
Dustin May will make his Cardinal debut pitching at Busch Stadium for the first time today. We're on the air at 12:20 after the Cardinals won in 10, 6-5 yesterday.
All right, a great one. How about that as the Cardinals get another victory? And how about this kid, J.J. Weatherholt? Are you kidding me? How about this stat from Optastats? They released this one overnight. This is a great one. J.J. Weatherholt is the first player in Major League history with a home run in his first career game and a walk-off hit in his second. You know what else he got? An interview with Mike Claiborne after the game.
Well, welcome to the J.J. Weatherholt Show. Nice job today. You had the first hit and the last hit of the game. A lot of things took place in between. So take me through what you were thinking going up in the inning, the last inning, where you had to come up and try to at least get the ball out of the infield.
Yeah, I mean, after Walk got walked, I knew Vic was going to be able to do his job, and just thinking about what I got to do off mine and was able to get a pitch early and put a swing on it.
You got the game started off on the right foot with the base hit, stealing a base, putting yourself in scoring position early. How are you trying to absorb all of this? Because it's coming at you at a pretty good pace.
I'm just trying to play my game out there. You know, it's what I've done my whole life is just try to get on base, try to steal, do anything to help the team, and have been able to do so early.
You know, we've seen it come back already this year on Thursday. Here comes Tampa. They come back today. What are you thinking when they put up those numbers in the ninth inning?
I'm thinking, you know, it's cool they tied it. We get some more ABs, and we're gonna walk it off. So just continuing to fight pitch by pitch, and we're able to get it done.
What was the mood like in the dugout during that time?
I mean, it was all right. Like, we didn't love to give up the four spot, but we just kind of looked at each other, knew we were going to do the job and stick together and hopefully get a win.
Well, the best thing about today is we have tomorrow, and we look forward to having you have some more fun tomorrow. Nice work today.
Thank you. Got to get right back to it.
There you go. He's J.J. Weatherholt, ladies and gentlemen.
He's already focused on the next game. J.J. Weatherholt with Mike Claiborne on the field. I want more Weatherholt. You want more Weatherholt. Let's listen in. This is Weatherholt in front of his locker in the clubhouse a little bit later. J.J. visiting with reporters. You can hear their microphones clicking as they think of that first question. Here we go. J.J. Weatherholt.
I just talked to you. What's that feeling like when you come through like that and your teammates are mobbing you?
It's great. I mean, I had a fortune enough to have a couple similar scenarios like that last year at Springfield, so every single time you do it, it's just, you know, it feels good to get the job done for your team.
Early on, what are you seeing from this team, the way they keep punching back?
Yeah, I mean, like you said right there, like, we'll punch back, so that's huge for a ball club because, I mean, you know, blow-up innings are going to happen, and they're going to happen again and again, so just being able to respond and not let that kind of slower mojo down is huge.
As much as you all have talked about the kind of style of play you want to have, the kind of relentlessness you want to have, what's the importance in having two sort of like proof of concept games this early that you can build on from that?
Yeah, I mean, you always have that confidence when you have, you know, experience doing it. And so when you can look back at those two games and, shoot, man, they punched us, we punched back. They punched us, we punched back. Being able to just look back and be like, all right, we've been here before, we can come through again. So it's just, you know, it gives us confidence.
In that situation in the bottom of the 10th, what's your approach both strategically and also how you handle the heat of the moment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, after Jordan walked, you know, everybody knows that Vic's going to get his job done and drop the bunt down. So I'm just, you know, looking at the situation ahead. It's going to be second and third, and I got to get them in. You know, Brownie pulled me aside and said, you get the first guy in, we'll worry about the second guy later. And he wanted a fly ball to center. Didn't work like that, but we'll take it. So I told him I just wanted to be aggressive early, and that's what I did.
Gigi, what's it feeling like? You round first, it's official, it's over, and everybody's running at you to celebrate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit scary because you get all these people just sprinting at you, and I'm like, how am I supposed to run towards them? Am I supposed to run away? What am I supposed to do? When's the water coming? But it's just such a great feeling to see that. It's amazing.
Have you had any time to wrap your head around these last 3 days as, you know, your kind of dream comes true and you get a couple big games in you?
For sure, yeah. I mean, definitely I take my time to reflect after each and every game, just kind of try to put the emotions aside and think about, you know, how I did on the field. Was I ready every pitch on defense? How were my at-bats? Things like that. And then try to put it to rest and just enjoy time with my family who's down here to see me. So definitely been able to reflect, but kind of once I leave the clubhouse, I want it to be, you know, family mode.
Was there any part of you surprised that you didn't get walked in that spot with the base open?
No, I mean, you know, I feel like the nature of it is, you know, they're going to want to challenge me and, you know, want me to prove myself. And maybe situationally, I can understand it. Bases loaded, one out. You put the double play in factor, but I'm happy they didn't.
JJ, yeah. your teammates and Ollie keep talking about the stage is not too big for you, that you're comfortable in these type of settings. How do you keep it simplistic as far as, you know, just see ball, hit ball?
Yeah, I mean, I just really take deep breaths. I wear Bible verses on my wristbands, like on my wrist, and it says Philippians 4:13 and then Matthew 28:20, and I read those every single time. And when I'm in big situations like that, it's just a constant reminder that God's with me, and that's what I take to the plate.
You said in the post game that you were singing your walk-up song. What song is that?
It's called Bring Heaven Down by Holvey. It's like a Christian hip-hop song, and yeah, just get up there, I'm singing my song in my zone and just doing my thing.
Along those lines, yesterday or the other day, the opening day, you talked about the just being able to get a ball in the air for your sacrifice fly. Today it's about getting the ball in play. The bedrock of any at bat, is that situational for you? I mean, do you draw kind of strength from just the awareness of the moment?
Yeah, I think a big part of my game is trying to be accurate with the barrel and understand situationally, you know, what the defense is giving me, you know, if I need a bunt, if I need to slap a ball the other way, you know, whatever they're giving me, I'm going to try to take. And so in situations like that, yeah, ideally, bases loaded, you want to keep the ball in the air to avoid a double play. You know, with that situation, ideally, same thing. I want to get the ball in the air and put a better swing on it than I did, but also just want to find a hole.
That is J.J. Weatherholt. Cardinals fans just can't get enough of this kid. He is already a front runner for National League Rookie of the Year. He's two games in, and he's achieved a home run and a walk-off hit. As I mentioned, from OptiStats, they were the first I saw to say this, first Major League player in history to do that. Home run in his first game, walk-off hit in his second game. Weatherholt and the Cardinals. And by the way, as our broadcasters noted, John and Ricky, what got overshadowed was that Michael McGreevy threw six hitless innings. He threw a no-hit six-inning performance as the Cardinals win this game by a count of 6-5. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the second biggest story of the day, but if you live in Illinois and you've been rooting for the Illini, this is your number one. They're going to the Final Four. Steve Kelly from the Illini Sports Network joins us next on Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
Well, what a scene last night. You had Arizona advancing to the Final Four for the first time since 2001. I was actually surprised about that. The first time in 25 years. You know who else had a long drought? Illinois. Last time they were in the Final Four was 2005 here in St. Louis at the Dome when they advanced to the championship game and lost to North Carolina. After their 71-59 win over Iowa, I love this. This is the first, well, this is one of the questions for Brad Underwood, and it's a good one and an even better answer. Take a listen.
In 2017, you told the story about your administrative assistant at, I think it was at Stephen F. You had told her that Illinois was your dream job, and she wrote it down and presented that to you when you got the Illinois job. Moving forward 9 years, taking Illinois, your dream job, to the Final Four, put that in perspective for me.
Yeah, it's it's not just me. It's so many people that have helped along the way, and you believe in something so much that it drives me every single day to want to make it happen. One of the most fulfilling moments personally that I just had was standing on the ladder with the net and then seeing our fans and being able to just, that wasn't about me, that was about our fans, and that was about what's probably going on in Champaign right now. And because that's what you believe this to be, and you know it is. And you know, I've said it many times. Coaches win games. I've got a great, great staff that makes me look good. We've been able to assemble a group of players that I love coaching. Administrators win championships, and you know, it's having that support and people that fight for you and make it possible. We play in the best league in the country, so anything's possible when it comes to winning a national championship. But I never doubted, and I don't want to sound arrogant, I've never doubted us getting to a Final Four would happen. I thought we've had other teams capable, but I also know how doggone hard it is to do it. And for that, I just say thank you. I say thank you to everybody involved, and I'm going to get emotional, but it's you know, I've been doing this 39 years, and you dream about this as a kid, and I dreamt about doing it at Illinois back in the day when my wife bought Tyler, who was maybe two, a Brian Cook jersey, and you knew what a special place this was, and it always has been, and there's been no other thing for me. This is my dream job, and it's very fulfilling to get where we're going.
That's Brad Underwood, the question from Robert Rosenthal of IlliniBoard.com. And this is Steve Kelly, our longtime friend, longtime host, Illini Sports Network, WDWS Radio in Champaign. Steve, good morning, congratulations. And that right there from Brad Underwood would hit an Illini fan right in the heart. That is pretty special stuff right there.
No doubt about it. He said he's dreamed of this moment. He said that actually this is better than the dream so far. And he made a point to say that it's not over yet. They've got they hope two more games to play to bring a national title to Champaign-Urbana. And this is only the sixth time. You talked about how it's not easy to get there and how rare it is. Only the sixth time in Illinois basketball history that they've made it to the Final Four. You mentioned the 1-05 at St. Louis. Before that, it was 1989 in Seattle under Lou Henson, and then they're three under Harry Combs back in 49, 51, and 52. So a long time coming, and Champaign's on fire right now, the whole state, I think.
I bet. And after a Big Ten battle with Iowa, who's had a great run themselves, and a win over Houston in Houston, not to mention a victory over a VCU team that was very aggressive and carrying some momentum. Steve, those three wins right there, I thought three different ways to win, but one common thing. They're big, they use that size to their advantage, and I think it's very real. Illinois can win this national championship.
I think the Houston game will stick out as time goes on as the big one there. Of course, you had to beat Iowa to get to the Final Four, but to beat Houston in Houston and playing Houston's game, really, it was kind of an ugly game at first. Brad Underwood said we may have set basketball back a few years with that first half, but they didn't back down from Houston's toughness and ended up winning by 10 and make a few more foul shots down the stretch. It would have been by more than that. But and then to play a very known opponent, longtime rival, Iowa, is kind of a scary game, I thought, going in, because Iowa had overachieved and they were kind of playing with house money, if you will. And this Illinois team had lost they went 4-5 in the last nine, and three of those losses in overtime. So they were kind of wobbling a little bit, but they found the chemistry. And when the three-point shot doesn't work, and it didn't last night, at least last night they didn't shoot as many. They shot 17. Normally they shoot about 30 a game, but they went inside on Iowa and took advantage there.
This is the sixth Final Four for Illinois. They have never won a national title. They made it to the runner-up spot in 05 at the Dome the last time they were in the Final Four, and what a trio that was of D. Brown, Darren Williams, and Luther Head, not to mention a very good front court. Bruce Weber's team before that 1989 team was dynamite. This is a fun trip for the Illinois fans. And really, could you describe what the last 20 years have been like, just so people on the outside understand what the expectation is in Champaign and how everybody feels at this point?
Well, they've been a little bit up and down, obviously. When Josh Whitman hired Brad Underwood 9 years ago, it was kind of in a downtrend. John Gross was the coach there, and he landed on his feet nicely. He's coaching well at Akron. But it takes a little while to get a build back up. They had guys like Trent Frazier, who was here and was coming here and stayed committed. He was one of the guys that bought in early. Iowa Desumu making that decision to come down from Chicago when the team still wasn't very good. Kofi Coburn committing after they lost at home to Florida Atlantic, I think it was, at that time before they got really good, and people buying in and staying there. Coleman Hawkins, who played 4 years there and then played his last year at Kansas State, and last season he was in the locker room with him in Houston, and people buying in like that, and you can't forget about Karen Shannon and players like that as well. But it's been, before that, it's been kind of up and down, and you know, you were happy, Illinois fans were happy when on Selection Sunday that Illinois might be on the bubble. This year they were arguing about whether they were going to be a two or a three seed and where they would go.
And finally, Josh Whitman. He's the athletic director. He has now been there for a decade. That actually surprised me as well, that it has been that long for Whitman, who's only 47 years old. Whitman, you know, you heard Brad Underwood mention it there. He said coaches win games, administrators win championships. What has Whitman done? What has this administration done to pump up not only basketball but football and get Illinois in position?
Well, the changing times with the NIL certainly have helped, and he's providing those resources and getting set there. I covered Josh when he was a player, football player at Illinois, so I've known him a long time, and I can remember thinking back of how sharp a guy he was then, and he went on to law school and then decided to go into athletics. And I'm a little bit biased because I know him and I work with him a lot. If there's a better AD in the country, I'd like to see him. He's very highly respected, and he gets it. He hired Underwood. He hired Bielma. He hired Shauna Green for the women's program, which is on the rise. He's made some great hires, and he's got the program and the whole department pointing up. And he's an outstanding guy to be around, and I think the perfect guy to lead his alma mater.
I would agree. It has been quite the run for Josh Whitman, for Brad Underwood, and for this Illinois team with a tremendous lineup. I mean, they have all the pieces you could want. It's going to be a lot of fun to see who comes out of this UConn-Duke game and gets Illinois in Indianapolis. Steve Kelly, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I love visiting with you on your station, and you have returned the favor on our station. Be well, my friend.
Happy to do so. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Great to visit Steve Kelly, Illini Sports Network, WDWS in Champaign, as the Illini have done it. They are going to the Final Four, and they'll play either UConn or Duke. When we come back, another athletic director is going to join us. We just talked about Josh Whitman. Chris May at St. Louis University. The Billiken basketball program has been in the news here over the last couple of days with Josh Schertz interviewing with NC State. Chris May with us next on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to be back with you, and always great to be visited by the athletic director at St. Louis University. Chris May joins us on KMOX. How are you, Chris?
Doing great. How are you, Tom?
Doing great. I know that this has been played in the news a few times here over the last 24 hours that Josh Schertz has interviewed with NC State. There have been some quotes from him on the record about that visit. What can you tell us from your perspective about what is happening with your head basketball coach? And he is your head basketball coach at St. Louis University.
He is, and as been reported, he's had a conversation with NC State. As I've mentioned to others, when you go through a season like this and you've got a lot of success happening at our university, people come and want to talk with your people. And so Josh had a conversation with him. I haven't heard anything more since last night that there wasn't any news, and he continues to be our coach. He's working on signing our kids to come back, and we're in the recruiting process of getting ready for the portal in a week. So there's a lot going on with it. It's I guess part of success, but you always got to be moving forward and get ready for the next step.
That's right. And look, when you're a good coach, people come after you. I mean, this is what happened. We just had this conversation a couple of years ago. From your perspective, you loved what you saw in Josh Schertz. You made the move with Travis Ford. Josh Schertz was at Indiana State, and Schertz went to St. Louis University, and he's flourished over 2 years, especially last year. I mean, as you said, this is the way of the world in college basketball. In a way, while it can be tedious, I guess, to have to go through these things, it's flattering in a way.
Well, it is, and what I feel best about is we are in a position to compete on a national level right now. And we've got all the pieces in place, from the ability to support high-level staff, to operations, to the rev share piece, to our unbelievable community support in a large market. There's just a lot of pieces that we have today that we can compete with. We can compete with people at the highest level. So it's part of the business. It can be uneasy at times, but the strength of St. Louis University and our program right now has never been stronger. And I'm very encouraged by our positioning and our ability to move forward at a high level. It was just a week ago, Tom. We were coming back from beating a SEC team, handily in the NCAA tournament, and played well against Michigan. Ran out of guns. I think Michigan will win it all this year. And celebrating three seniors and Robbie Avila and Deion Brown and Paul Otieno, who all three of those, as weren't here very long. And so the business has changed. And so what we know is that St. Louis University, we have the ability to attract high level talent. And I'm very confident that moving forward, we'll continue to do so.
How fast does it happen? I mean, I'm sure this isn't the only phone call that you've gotten about Josh Schertz, nor will it be the last. And I know you probably acknowledge this, that your fans are very antsy right now. They love Josh Schertz. So they're kind of antsy about what the timetable is here. But again, you're telling us that you haven't heard anything further from last night, nor do you know how quickly something could happen one way or the other.
Well, you really don't. But again, you keep moving forward. You keep your ears to the ground, and you're prepared to move forward in any direction that you may need to. But right now, Josh is our coach. I have no reason to believe he's not going to be. We've made a significant commitment at a very high level to Josh to be our coach because we believe he can take our program to another level. And we've had many conversations that he believes so also. So I feel good about that. But again, this is the nature of college sports today, and we'll continue to move through it, and we'll move through it as quickly as we can.
What in your conversations with Josh have you identified that you need to take the next step as a basketball program? Does that Michigan game, I mean, look, you're facing Michigan. I mean, well, you just said it yourself, and I agree with you. I think they are going to win it all. You needed size to compete with Michigan in right. That game. Is that priority number one, you think?
For sure. That's the next step with our program. We've got very, very gifted, talented shooters and wings. We've got to go get size to really solidify to be able to compete at the highest level, game in and game out for 40 minutes. And so that's the next step in evolution for our program is, again, as you go out into the portal. And what we found is that we're a lot closer than some people may have thought. And so we've got to attack the next phase of building a roster and take ourselves to the next level.
It's hard to ignore that the Sweet 16 featured all of those power conference teams and that no mm-hmm. mid-majors were in the Sweet 16. You just said, though, that you do feel that you're taking a step closer. And I may have some bias here as being part of the Billiken broadcast, but based on what I've seen, I would think that SLU is a step ahead of quite a few mid-majors knocking on that door. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, is it that far away from mid-majors that they could be able to crack that Sweet 16, or is there a significant gap? I mean, what do you think needs to happen?
Well, I think the gap is shrinking. I think there's more and more parity because of rev share and NIL and all those pieces. I think that's shrinking. I think there's going to be many more programs that may not have had a shot before that have a legitimate shot moving forward. And, you know, St. John's made a big run this year. I think there's going to be more and more of the basketball-centric programs that have a shot to make big runs long-term because of the new model. I think the other piece that's going to help is as the tournament expands, that's going to give other people shots to go on runs. And as you know, in the tournament, it's all about what matchup you get. We easily could have been a different seed, and we could have been playing this last weekend. We played Iowa in October. We're very competitive with them, so we're not that far off. But you got to have size, and you got to have the inside strength to really compete with those guys. But I see that changing a lot, in that there's going to continue to be more and more parity, and you see parity in the teams left. And so I think there'll be more and more of that as we move forward in the next 2 to 3 years.
The SLU men's basketball team coming off just a phenomenal year, 29-6, as they end up losing to maybe the eventual national champion Michigan in the tournament. We'll see. But I can't leave you here without mentioning a couple of your other programs, because you're so kind to come on during what obviously is a turbulent time, at least on the outside. I don't know how much it is inside, but on the outside, fans are just very curious of your thoughts. So we really appreciate that. But I will say this. Yesterday, I put out on Twitter, I said, Cardinals, Blues, Battlehawks, Illini, everybody, especially those three, Cardinals, Blues, Battlehawks, are playing downtown. Mm-hmm. And I posted it, and your great staff member, Abby Ferguson, said, hey, SLU Athletics is busy today, too, in Midtown. It was a big day yesterday. Now, you came up on the short end a little bit, but you had a lot of things going on in that spring weather.
We did. We had track meet going on. We had a lot of students competing down there. We had our baseball and softball teams playing. We're playing again today. We've got our tennis team heading out to senior day at the park. So lots going on during this time in college sports. And it's an exciting time when you get to serve 400 student athletes who are out there competing their tails off at whatever sport they're in. So, yeah, I welcome everybody to come down and see the softball and baseball today. And a lot going on, but trust me, we are fully focused on how we continue to grow our men's basketball program. It's critical to us. We know how important it is. And we also know that St. Louis, the Billikens, have taken a big step. And that's why we are, a lot of people have great interest in how we built it, who we built it with, and how we're moving forward. And we will continue to focus on that growth and how we continue to get better. And I'm very encouraged by what the future holds for our program.
We appreciate you, and we love being your partner here at KMOX. So thank you for that, and we will stay in touch with you. Appreciate the time.
All right. I appreciate it, Tom. Have a good one. Take care.
You too. Chris May, athletic director at St. Louis University, joining us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. When we come back, Hall of Famer Chris Pronger. How about this for a first hour? Chris Pronger talking some Blues hockey. Andy has a new book, and I've known him for a long, long time. We're going to have a fun little segment here coming up on Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
On 104.1 KMOX. From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
And we welcome in the Hall of Famer, Chris Pronger, is back on KMOX. Prongs, it is a delight, as always, my friend, to talk to you. I was mentioning in the beginning of the show, we've known each other a long, long time. I think I started covering the Blues in 97, which was like a couple years after you came into town.
Yeah, it's been a long, winding road, hasn't it?
Yeah. Tommy? Yeah,
almost
yes, it
30
is.
Years. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, the journey, if you will. You have had some journey, and, yes. And you have a book coming out that I want to talk about, that very journey, and not to reveal what's in the pages of the book, but it sounds like an amazing read. I mean, I can't wait to dive into this. But I wanted to ask you about this current team. Did anyone let the Blues know that they were out of the playoff race? I mean, what the heck is going on here? It's unreal.
Well, apparently they aren't anymore. 4 points back.
Yeah.
You know, they've got an outside chance. They've got a lot of teams they've got to climb over, but you know, as the saying goes, so you're saying there's a chance?
What do you think is happening here? I mean, a lot of people wonder, why didn't this happen before? Well, it was a different team before. There were some expectations and some pressure. Maybe that's it. Maybe the pressure just was lifted off of them, and they just went out and played, these young guys.
I think it's a combination of that. I think also they're healthy. You know, the moves that they made, they got a little younger. They've got players now almost in the right spots. And they've also had a little challenge handed down, like, okay, we're not this bad. We can't be this bad. With the start that they had and where they were sitting in the standings going into the Olympic break. And they've come out, number one, the break allowed them to get healthy. Number two, they've come out with just a passion to play the game of hockey, to play for one another. They're sticking together. They look like they're having fun. But most of all, A, their goaltending has been on point. Secondly, the way they've defended last night in particular and a couple nights before that against San Jose, they're doing a really good job of defending with five players in the sense that the defensemen are able to hold the blue line, force turnovers. The forwards are coming back and getting backside pressure. Thus, they're getting into the transition game. Their defensemen are doing a great job of not only transitioning and getting north and south and getting on the attack, but then jumping into the play and providing second and third layers for offensive opportunities. And up front, the players, the forwards, look like they're playing with a lot more confidence. They're not just getting it and dumping in. When they see they have an outmanned attack, a 3-on-2, a 4-on-3, they're coming with pace, they're coming with speed, but they're also coming with a purpose in the sense that it's not just one guy thinking, okay, I want to be the shooter all the time. They're trying to, you know, middle lane drive, force back the defenseman, and open up opportunities for their teammates. They're playing very selfless hockey, and that's fun to watch.
It really is. The Blues, as Prongs mentioned, are 4 points out of a playoff spot, trailing Nashville. And now you get to do a little scoreboard watching because Nashville plays this afternoon at Tampa Bay. So that's the only one that really affects the Blues right now. The other teams are off, but the Blues are tied with San Jose with 73. They're a point behind Winnipeg, who has 74. Seattle has 75 points. LA has 76. So as Chris mentioned, you got to leapfrog all of those teams, but it's not impossible. They have to continue this amazing streak. Chris Pronger is with us, the Hockey Hall of Famer. Prongs, your book, which comes out on April 14th, is called Earned, The True Cost of Greatness. You've spoken often about being proud of the scars, being proud of the journey. And I would imagine this book is going to be really a deep dive into a lot of the decisions and moments you've had to make in your career.
Definitely. A lot of forks in the road, a lot of moments where I needed to bet on myself. As you talk about scars, the good, bad, and the ugly, I discuss in the book, and just kind of my path and journey to the NHL through, minor hockey and junior. And then obviously, people may or may not remember, my time in Hartford and how difficult it was, the weight of expectations, the pressure, being booed on home ice and the struggles that I had. And then obviously my first year here in St. Louis, where, I struggled mightily and, under the weight of the expectations of the trade contract, pressure from the fans, pressure from myself, pressure from teammates, coaches, management, all the rest of it. And struggled mightily in that third year in the league, my first year in St. Louis, and ultimately, found myself, found my way, and through a lot of hard work, through setting standards and really taking ownership of my career and getting rid of the victimhood mentality that I had up to that point and trying to blame others for my lot in life and blame others for the mistakes that I was making and ultimately taking ownership of my career and challenging myself and really trying to figure out how good do you really want to be? What are you willing to sacrifice? How dedicated do you want to be? How hard do you want to work? And then going out and taking action.
Because I always wondered about that, and we've had conversations about this, that, you came to St. Louis, like you said, you got booed because you were part of this trade, and Brendan Shanahan's now playing elsewhere. Then you have such a great run here, but then it gets to a point where you're out of here, and you end up winning a cup elsewhere. So that's twice, I think, that there was sort of a sour experience in St. Louis, as good as it was here. And you still are here. Like, you're here. You live here. You love us. You're part of the culture. You're on the broadcast team. You're adored inside the building. And what a wide range of emotions you've had to go through.
Yeah, definitely a roller coaster of emotions. And, my time here didn't get off to a great start, but I think my play and my willingness to ingratiate myself in the community, as we know, St. Louis got a great fan base. The fans take hold of their players, and certainly, my time, is no different. As I said, getting booed on home ice is never a comfortable feeling, but it also puts your feet to the fire and tests your mettle and builds the grit and character that you're going to need to find, the ultimate success in this sport, especially in hockey. And so, I was very thankful for how hard the fans were on me, how hard, how they challenged me, and coming out the other side, I was prepared and ready for anything that was going to come my way after going through that experience.
I think it's a reminder that these players that we watch, who are some of the best in the world, and Chris Pronger is one of the best defensemen anyone has ever seen, you never really know what's going on underneath that helmet and between the ears and what they're having to deal with on a daily basis as human beings. And on that note, I think that this book, and again, I can't wait to dive into it, will relate to everybody. I mean, I think that this is probably something that if you are going through the ups and downs of running a business or a family or anything that you've had to overcome in your life, this book, it seems relatable.
Absolutely. Yeah. I walked through all of that, not only with my career, but, life in general and just the ups and downs and, to your point with respect to whether it's business, life, what have you,
being a difference maker and challenging yourself and leaning into adversity. And, you know, we hear all the buzzwords and things of that, but really when I think about my career, adversity was a gift, and all the adversity that I faced throughout my early part of my career. And then, you know, the injuries and, you know, all the rest of it, the career ending injury that I had, and the challenges that you face in trying to get healthy, the challenges you face to figure out what's next and then how you're going to pursue that. And are you going to take the same work ethic and doggedness that you had in your career into that 2.0, 3.0, whatever that looks like. And so, you know, just trying to, you know, make an impact in that regard and really challenge people to think about their legacy. And not only, you know, from my perspective, not only what does the legacy of my career look like, but what is the legacy of my life and how can we impact people and how can we help people get to that next level and utilize the experiences and life lessons that I learned throughout the course of my career and life after, to hopefully have an impact on them and allow those that read the book to become difference makers in their own lives.
I've also noticed you've been on the speaking circuit. So you've gone around to different groups and you've spoken to them about your life and about leadership and about ownership. I wonder, because you won't be able to see the reaction of people actually reading your book, but you get to see their faces while you're talking. What really hits home, Prongs? What do you say to them? What message really impacts them when you speak?
Yeah, I think when I talk about culture, I talk about standards, I talk about adversity, the mindset of a champion, and you know, leading from the front and setting the standard. Like, we can't ask people to do things that we're not willing to do ourselves. And you have to first and foremost challenge yourself and set the standard at the highest level, and then try to raise all tides from there and raise all boats from there. And it is a dogged determination every single day of setting the standard, having good habits, being disciplined, and then being consistent and willing to do that over and over and over, and trust the process and trust that you are making an impact on people and those around you, and whether it's teammates, coworkers, what have you, and elevating everyone that's around you and making everyone better just by what standard you have set, and then going out and executing and taking action on that every single day.
It's always great to visit with Chris Pronger. The Hockey Hall of Famer is with us. And again, the book is Earned, The True Cost of Greatness. It comes out April 14th. I think it's going to be a huge hit. You can go to chrispronger.com. And I would imagine it'll be pretty much everywhere, right, Prongs?
Absolutely. Yeah, go to Amazon. It's obviously, that's the easiest route, is to go to Amazon to buy the book. And we've got some events coming up here in St. Louis. I got an event with the St. Louis Blues on launch day, April 14th. You can find that on my website, chrispronger.com, and go to the events page. I've got another event on the 15th that I'm doing. All of these things are posted. I've got a number of book signings throughout that first week of the book launch. So a lot of different opportunities, either get a signed book or come a couple of these. I'll be doing some speaking and just talking about the book, talking about some of the experiences in the book, and then doing a little Q&A and answering questions, whether it's about the book, about my life, or whatever somebody wants to inquire about.
April 14th, that'll be a home game against the Penguins. Maybe not the last one if they keep moving.
You never
on.
Know.
I don't know.
That could be a, as you say, a big game.
That's right. Thank you, buddy. Have a great day.
All right, my friend. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Chris Pronger with us on KMOX, back after the news.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
True North Stores Beverage Clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
SpringFest means more sun, more fun, and more free at Lowe's.
Keep your yard in line with an additional free EGO 56-volt battery when you buy a select EGO mower, trimmer, or blower. Plus, keep landscaping fresh with Stay-Green 1-cubic-foot garden soil, 5 bags for $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4-8. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Okay, well, what an hour that was. We had Steve Kelly talking about the Illini Final Four bound. We had Chris May, which got a lot of attention, his interview. First one he's done. Well, I wouldn't say that. I know that Stu Durando got some quotes from him yesterday, but he had a few things to say further about Josh Schertz and NC State. And we heard from Chris Pronger, which I thought was a lot of fun. And Prong's noting this Blues team is 4 points out of a playoff spot. Chris May telling us that he has not heard anything more since last night about Josh Schertz. He did acknowledge that Schertz has had a conversation with NC State. He said, when you go through a season like this, people want to talk to your people. And he continues to be our coach. He has said that multiple times now, that they are continuing to work forward and move forward. He said that he continues to be our coach and has not heard any recent news. You can take that any way that you want. One, that there is no word yet from NC State on financials and that Josh Schertz has not heard back from that. By the way, we did put a request in for Josh Schertz. It's probably, I would imagine, in his best interest and his agent and everybody else to wait until he hears from NC State before he goes public with me. But that's what Chris May has said, that that's the very latest here. So you can take that any way you want. You can take it that SLU is prepared in case. And it certainly sounded like that, that they are prepared for him to come back or they're prepared for him to move forward. They have a program that they have in position to move forward and to be great. That's what I took out of it. So whatever happens with Schertz, it is still very much up in the air. We'll get the latest as it becomes available. Chris Pronger, I thought, was really good talking about his book. Steve Kelly as well on the Illini. And of course, we heard from J.J. Weatherholt, who was absolutely phenomenal the first two games. And the Cardinals have him in the lineup again today. Here's your lineup for the Cardinals and the Tampa Bay Rays. Leading off is J.J. Weatherholt. He will be the leadoff hitter for the third straight game today. He is the Cardinals' second baseman. Ivan Herrera will bat second and DH. Herrera so far has a pair of RBIs, hitting 125 through two games. Alec Burleson's been on fire. He hit a missile in that first game, had another good game yesterday. He's batting third and playing first base. Mason Wynn's right back in that cleanup spot, batting fourth for the Cards. Again, they have said they've done that for multiple reasons, one of them being they try to avoid that double play. And they also like that left-right, left-right that you get from Weatherholt, Herrera, Burleson, Wynn. Sejacy is batting fifth, and that'd be later in the game, you know, when you face a reliever that you hit him with left, right, left, right. Sejacy's batting fifth. We're going to see Thomas for the first time today. He's in left field, batting fifth for the Cardinals today. Ramon Urias is the third baseman again. He bats sixth as Nolan Gorman gets the day off against the lefty Steven Matz. Jordan Walker's in there. Walker had a really nice plate appearance in the 10th inning. Four straight pitches he let go by, and he walked and ended up scoring the winning run. Pedro Pajes is the catcher today, batting eighth. And Victor Scott is in center field again, batting ninth. Weatherholt, Herrera, Burleson, Wynn, Sejacy, Urias, Walker, Pajes, Scott. More on the Cardinals as we go along here. The Blues, we mentioned multiple times with Prongs, they won 5-1 over the Maple Leafs. Toronto, and under Chief Craig Berube, does not look good. They only had 12 shots on Jordan Binnington, and the Blues were dominant defensively in that victory as they just overwhelmed the Leafs at Enterprise Center, and they're on a tear right now. We talked about the Illini extensively. the win for them, putting them in the Final Four for the first time since 2005. They play the winner of UConn and Duke. That will not be easy, but you know what? They've already beaten a hot VCU team. They beat down Houston in Houston, and then they took care of Iowa, which was as hot as anybody. So I wouldn't put it past Illinois for a second. On the other side of things, Arizona looked phenomenal in the second half. Oh, my gosh. How they beat up Purdue and won that game 79-64. They outscored them 48-26 in the second half. They await the winner of Michigan and Tennessee. But you know what else happened yesterday in the St. Louis area? That football team over at the Dome, the St. Louis Battlehawks, playing in front of over 35,000 fans, did it again. They have gotten off to a good start, and they have their fans on their back right now as they won it 16-10 over the D.C. Defenders, the defending champion of the UFL. Ricky Prohl, his first ever game, and he wins it in the same dome where he caught the pass to win the NFC Championship from Kurt Warner in 2001, that incredible season. In 1999, that incredible season. That was January of 2000. Let's get our years right. He makes the amazing catch. Here he is 26 years later, and he's coaching the St. Louis Battlehawks inside the same dome. Now, I thought this was a great interview. This is only a minute. This is ESPN, and I love this emotion out of Ricky Prohl. Take a listen.
Coach Prohl, I just want to know how you're feeling right now.
Oh, my God. I'm so proud of my guys, man. They just fought. Talk about finishing. Halftime, we just talked about this. This is what we work for, just to finish the ball game. And they came out and just were resilient, relentless, and it's just so proud of them.
So many great moments in this city for you to be able to get this win. You're first as a head coach. What does it mean doing it here?
Feel pressure, man. I tell you what, this is the most nervous I've been in a long time in this stadium, and it just feels good to get that dub. And like I said, man, I can't say enough about my guys and how proud I am of them.
Well, if it wasn't emotional enough, I'm going to show this picture right here. Little Hadley and Kova, your granddaughters, both here for the game. I showed you this before the game, to be able to have your family here and do it in front of them, do it with them in presence. What? How much more does it mean?
Family's everything. Love my family. So proud to be a grandfather, a father. This is a memorable moment again here in St. Louis, and I love this people. I love the city. The fans were just behind us the whole game, and no better place I'd rather be than right here, right now.
Ricky Prohl on ESPN after a win 16-10 over D.C. He's got himself a defense and a pretty good quarterback in Brandon Silvers, who completed a touchdown pass in the third quarter, and the defense held from that point. They went at 16-10. Good for Ricky and good for St. Louis. Once again, showing America that we are a football town. I heard our producer, Drew Young, here told me they were out tailgating at 8 o'clock in the morning, starting to set those things up and firing things up and drinking beer and all that good stuff on a spring day that was a little cool yesterday morning, and they had a blast. Love it. Congratulations to the Battlehawks and to Ricky Prohl. Some other things that are going on today. You have NASCAR. The Cookout 400 goes down at 2:30 today. That is the oldest track on the circuit, Martinsville Speedway. That's always fun. That is pretty much everywhere. FS1 has it. HBO Max has it. I love listening on MRN radio if you ever get a chance. IndyCar is also happening. You've got IndyCar coming to St. Louis first weekend of June. NASCAR coming to St. Louis in September, September 11th through the 13th. Folks, we've got it good around here with golf happening as well this summer. It is a sports town. There's a lot of stuff happening. But I will always say that nothing to me will ever overshadow the giant that is the Cardinals fan base. And they were awesome. I mean awesome on opening day. When we come back, we'll relive not only that, but what happened yesterday. I think J.J. Weatherholt's walk-off was amazing. But something else got overshadowed yesterday. Right out of the gate, the first start of the season for your number two starter, Michael McGreevy, all he does is fire a six-inning no-hit performance. back after this. From the Stiefel Sports Studio on KMOX.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
The story of J.J. Weatherholt is great. He is a wonderful player and seems to have everything you could possibly want at the big league level to succeed. Got a great head on his shoulders, great perspective, and he has tons of talent. But I think also part of this story was the Cardinals crowd the last 2 days, even though the crowd on opening day was bigger. Yesterday's crowd, as smaller as it was boisterous. And opening day will always stay with me. The way that they treated this Cardinals team, you know, you hear a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of focus on empty seats. Cardinals fans are disgruntled. They might be frustrated, but they still locked it in when it came to Weatherholt and gave him the greeting that he deserved, a roaring ovation, not only when he crossed home plate with that F-150 dropping him off during the opening day ceremony, but when he made his first appearance at the plate in the first inning, leading off a new era of Cardinal baseball.
The pitch to Weatherholt, that's swung on, and it's popped into short center field. That ball is going to be caught on a slide by Cedric Mullins.
They tried to will that one down to the ground for his first hit. Did not get it. But in the third inning, they got this.
0-2 the count to Weatherholt, and he hits that ball high and deep to center field. He got a lot of that one, and it's gone! First major league home run! First major league hit for J.J. Weatherholt on an 0-2 pitch, straightaway center field, and it's 1-0 Cardinals on opening day.
And I would imagine he will have his first curtain call here shortly. Somebody's going to have to teach him about those. Cardinals ask for time at home plate, and here he comes. Could not have written that any better.
How about this, though? Sixth inning, the Cardinals, if you recall, were fighting their way back after being down 7-1, and the bases were loaded for guess who? J.J. Weatherholt, the crowd to their feet again. They want a grand slam from number 26.
A sellout crowd at Busch Stadium. Bases loaded. Weatherholt swings and he hits a drive. Deep right field. That is back and caught on the track by the right fielder, DeLuca. The runners tag at second and third. It's a one-run game now as Weatherholt drives in his second big league run, a sacrifice fly, scoring Nathan Church.
Cardinals with a productive out there from Weatherholt. That's what he does. He just makes things happen. He lifts one in the air and gets that run across. The Cardinals end up tying the game. And then Alec Burleson with a great at-bat in the bottom of the sixth and does this with a runner on.
Two outs, runner at third, Scott, the pitch. Burleson swings. He hits it a mile to right field. The Cardinals have the lead plus one on that two-run homer by Alec Burleson. An eight-run sixth inning. Unbelievable.
An absolute missile off the bat of Burleson. And he did something really important there as he made his way to first base. He took his time. He flipped his bat. He pumped his fist. He yelled. He screamed. He shouted at his own dugout. That's exactly what the Cardinals need. They need some fire. They need a fiery temperament, they need energy, and they need to be entertaining. They need to remember that what they do is for the fans. Yes, it's for their career, but the fans want to know that you are playing for them. They want to be acknowledged. They want to know that you see them, that you hear them. They want to feel like, Cardinals fans especially, I think, want to feel like they're part of this, whether it's the offseason making moves, whether it's making a play in the field, that you hear them and that you acknowledge them, or something like that where you hit a home run and the crowd goes absolutely nuts. That was an awesome moment. The Cardinals, of course, go on to win that game 9-7. And then there was what happened yesterday in the 10th inning, and this was classic Cardinals again. The deflating moment of them losing a four-run lead in the 9th inning. And I think past teams would have folded up the tents and Cardinals fans probably would have left with them. But the Cardinals, after giving up a run in the top of the 10th, respond in an outstanding way. They have a runner at second base in Nathan Church. Jordan Walker, much documented how much he has struggled with a terrific plate appearance. A four-pitch walk in which he let the ball go by four straight times, many of them low in the zone. He does not chase. He takes first base. Victor Scott drops down a perfect bunt to move the runners to second and third. And J.J. Weatherholt, he needs just something to get one run in. He decides, I'm going to bring them both home.
The pitch to Weatherholt is grounded to the right side. Base hit. The Cardinals tie it. Here comes Jordan Walker. The play at the plate. Not in time. The Cardinals walk it off with rookie J.J. Weatherholt coming through in the bottom of the 10th inning. The Cardinals win it by a score of 6-5. How about that ending?
How about that debut for Weatherholt? According to OptiStats, he is the first player in Major League history to have a home run in his first game and a walk-off hit in his second game. And the Cardinals' sensation, J.J. Weatherholt, gives them a 6-5 win. But something that got overshadowed yesterday was the performance by Michael McGreevy. Their starter came out needing to pick up the momentum, and you had a full day's rest on Friday, and then you have to get back at it on Saturday after all of the pageantry and pomp and circumstance of opening day. And all McGreevy does is fire six innings of hitless ball. He walked two and struck out five. It was the bullpen that gave up the runs, Swanson three and Stanek two. But in a 6-5 victory, McGreevy, who does not get the decision, puts together a terrific start. He threw 96 pitches, and here he is visiting with reporters.
Together, good at-bats, they come back to tie it, but, I mean, the vibe in the dugout never changed. It was always like, hey, we got it. No one's down and out. I mean, we were down six the other day, and it was tied up this time. So, great punchback by our guys after they had a good punchback as well. So, I mean, it was just awesome to see.
Young guys up and down the lineup, but J.J., I mean, this first taste of big league baseball, two games, he's been big, right?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of vets have told me in my career so far it's not supposed to be this easy, but, I mean, he's showing why he's the guy. Deserved every opportunity to get in the call-up out of spring. Just feel so confident with him at the dish.
Six innings, no-hit ball for you, 96 pitches, 5 Ks. What was working?
Changeup was great. That was a pitch I really tried to focus on this offseason. And it was just something I can go to. Besides one, that second walk to a Rondo where I threw a changeup, kind of yanked it. That was about the only one where I was displeased with. That just was uncompetitive out of the gate. But, I mean, keeping their hitters off balance, using all seven of my pitches today for both lefties and righties, and especially when they stack the lineup with lefties and good lefties at that, I was very happy to keep them at bay.
With your stuff, how big is it for them to not know what you're doing, not know what's coming next?
Yeah, that's the goal. You don't want to fall into patterns. When you got seven, it should be easy not to fall into patterns. You know, if something's working, then go back to it. But I think just from being on the mound, it was a good mix of, hey, I don't think they know what's coming, minus a few pitches.
To Jim's question, with the velo maybe not quite where you want it to be at this point in the season, how much does the mix maybe take some of the pressure?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes the 91 mile per hour four seamer feel like 95 again. So it's good. I'm not worried about that at all. You know, I've throughout my career started and just built up gradually and peaked when it mattered. But doing everything I can right now just to make sure I'm on that right track, and I'm not worried about it.
Michael McGreevy, that's his first start of the season. That's only the 20th start of his career. And he retired the first nine batters he faced, did not allow a hit through six innings. And he became the first Cardinals pitcher to throw six no-hit innings in a completed start since Eric Fetty did it, actually last year. Struck out a career-high four in his first time through the order, and became the second Cardinals pitcher in franchise history with a hitless start in one of the first two games of a season. Jack Flaherty did that in 2023. Really nice start for Michael McGreevy and the Cardinals. Dustin May gets the start today. We'll talk it over with Chaim Bloom, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, joins us next to talk all things Cardinals, and he'll be followed by Bernie Miklas. I mean, you talk about a 1-2 punch going into this Cardinals pregame. 12:20 is the pregame today with Joe Pott, 1:15 first pitch. Back in a moment, sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
We are indeed in downtown St. Louis in our studios here. Let's over to Busch Stadium where the Cardinals are going for the sweep today. President of Baseball Operations Chaim Bloom is with us on KMOX. Good morning, Chaim.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you is an even better question after a couple of games. Look, I know you're all business and you've got 160 to go, but that was some start to the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? It's been fun. I mean, we're not boring. I'll say that. I mean, obviously we know there's a lot of these, right? And any individual game can go different ways, but it's just cool. I feel really happy for our coaching staff, especially after game one. You talk all spring about a certain style of play and doing certain things on the field, both with the energy we would bring in, the way guys were expressing their emotions, and then those at-bats we strung together. You talk about that style of play all spring. So it's really cool and rewarding to see the boys go out there and do it. And it was just an amazing day. I mean, the energy in the ballpark. I had, as you know, one of them was with you. We had crisscrossing the street a couple times just to go do some stuff pregame, and the place was buzzing. It was awesome.
Yeah, and we sat about a row from each other when Nathan Church made the catch over the wall. I looked back at you, and that was some catch by Nathan. I think that he's shown his ability to do multiple things, and that was a little show off there. That was awesome.
Yeah, and again, you know, you're talking about one game, now it's two games. There's going to be ups and downs, as there always are with any player, especially young players, but it was just really cool. Especially after some of the conversation around, what we're going to do in left field, to see him get that shot opening day and have an outstanding all-around game.
Yeah, it really was. Let me go back to the beginning of opening day. Did you hear the crowd when they roared after your name was announced? I thought that was a pretty sizable cheer for you.
You know what? Honestly, down there, it was hard to really tell. I heard a little bit of it, but mainly I was just trying not to trip and fall coming out of the dugout. So, I was more locked in on that than on the crowd, but a couple of people mentioned something afterwards, which is cool and, very much appreciated. And, it's honestly a really cool thing to be a part of and, I'll take it.
I think it might also be a sign. I mean, obviously they like you, but it's a sign that they're ready to move forward. I think people were ready for this maybe earlier, but do you get that indication that more fans are on board now that you see and hear them, now that you're here?
Yeah, I mean, I've honestly gotten that even like throughout the winter, even to some degree last summer. I got asked on opening day, I was talking to our writers on the field, and I got asked about, fans being on board with this. And look, I know people are only going to say to your face a small subset of what they feel. And it isn't even about me anyway, or it shouldn't be. It's about this organization. It's about winning baseball and bringing that to our fans. But, I think, again, like we believe really strongly in the course we're taking, that it is the most effective and really the quickest way to get this organization back to where it needs to be, where it can feel like it felt opening day here every day, which I know is what this fan base will do when we earn it. So, I just give our fans the benefit of the doubt that they're locked in on this and they understand. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be good and bad emotions. Like we have them too. Things don't go well as much as you say, hey, it's a long-term project. We're upset too, and we'll have all those emotions. But this is a smart fan base, and I think you just try to be transparent with them, be straightforward, and trust that because of how closely they follow this, because of how well they know the game, that they're going to understand if and when we do the right things.
Yeah, we just got a text from a listener from the 618 area code who said the best part about this team is there are zero egos that get in the way. They just want to win. But this person said, I'm also worried, though, about how they compete for 162. That's fair. I mean, it's a long season. I get it. It's a long grind that you have to navigate through that many of them have not been through before.
Yeah, we play the longest season, and it will test you in many, many different ways. That's true for young players. It's true for veterans. There's a lot of different ways. We're starting off on the right foot. There's a lot of different ways that groups can come together, but also different ways they can drift apart. I think Ollie and the staff have been super intentional about trying to get in front of those things, but it does test you. It's like life. There's just a lot of different things that can pull you in different directions. So it's on everybody to maintain that focus. And, it's not going to be perfect every day. Again, young players, there's going to be ups and downs. We got to recognize that. We all got to do our part to keep everything moving the direction we need it to move.
I'll give another perk to the fans, a silver lining, if you will, about a team that's sort of in a rebuild, is that you get to play manager a little bit. You get to play along. You get to watch. Not that they haven't before, trust me. But this will be an interesting ride of how does this bullpen stack up? Why are they doing this with the lineup? I think right out of the gate, Mason Winn at cleanup got everyone's attention. I thought Ali's explanation was pretty good, actually. Left, right, plus you avoid that double play. Wouldn't that be most of the reason why you would put Winn at cleanup?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This is the beauty of the game. You know, we talked about it on opening day, talking about some of the roster decisions that we made. And especially in a place like St. Louis, this is what this fan base will do. If it's any consolation or fan, sometimes we have the same conversations up in the box during the game. That's the beauty of it. And you want that to be the case. You know, if these decisions were easy, you know, then the game wouldn't be the fun that it is. And so they're not. And that's the beauty of it, is we can all talk about them. But, you know, I think given our personnel, I thought it was definitely justifiable and kind of like the look and feel of it. And I know it got Mason jacked up. So we'll see how it plays out, but that's the beauty of it. And, you know, I think that's true with decisions Ollie makes. It's going to be true with decisions I make. There's going to be room for debate, for disagreement. We welcome that. We love it. And, you know, our part is just to do what we think is best and then try to explain it as best as we can.
How do you explain the bullpen through two games? Because obviously you mentioned it right away that you've been entertaining, but that also came with having to give up a chunk of runs to come back to win a couple of games. How do you evaluate the bullpen and what's happened so far?
Yeah, it's funny because after game one, I remember saying to people, it's just like we said all spring, you know, we're going to pitch, but we don't know where the offense is going to come from. And the game kind of played out the opposite way. Again, it's two games. I will say, you know, it's important when we're evaluating what our guys are doing. I think this is really, really critical and something that I think good pitching organizations do, is you try to evaluate what the player actually controls. You try to look at what did they throw? How good was their stuff? Where did they throw it? What did they use in what situations? And results are results. You can't always control those. When you look at the big inning that we gave up on opening day, I mean, you could see from some of the results, if they'd hit the ball harder, we probably would have given up way fewer runs. It's just one of those things that actually thought both guys threw pretty well, and it just didn't go their way with soft contact for the most part. So sometimes that's going to happen. Obviously, yesterday may be a little different, but you got to let the season breathe a little bit, and we just try to evaluate these guys day to day. If there are things in terms of pitch selection, things in terms of stuff or location that we can work on and worry about, we'll do that. But, you know, we got to try to disconnect ourselves a little bit from results and not get overreactive to them when we're actually making decisions. Of course, we care about the results, but we know that there's going to be ups and downs. And when it comes to actually evaluation, decision making, you try to look past the things that are not controllable to what actually can the pitcher control and how is that going.
And I guess that would apply to your starters, too, although those numbers are pretty good. I mean, five innings, one run allowed for Libby, and then six hitless innings for McGreevy, who looked every bit like a major league starter and only his 20th major league start time.
Yeah, and, you know, he pitched his tail off. I mean, obviously, you know, I think it was brought up after the game with his velocity being a little lighter than where it's been in the past. It didn't matter the way that he pitched. He mixed really well. He used all of his stuff. Really, really good to see that. Not surprising because we know who he is and the savvy and the sophistication he has out there, but it was really cool to see.
Last thing, and I saved probably the best for last because the fans have eaten him up and we've talked about him a lot on this show already, but J.J. Weatherholt, take me back to the first time that you knew that he was going to be a St. Louis Cardinal. If you can go back to that point and the path that he's taken to get to this point, because it's not like he just walked into a major league clubhouse. I mean, he's had some time here to get himself ready.
Yeah, it's two games. He set the bar pretty high. I mean, you couldn't script it any better than this. You know, it's just, and you know, it's a good feeling when he's at the plate. You feel good when the ball's hit to him. Love the way he's wired, the way his mind works, just his calmness. He carries himself like he's been here for a while, which you love to see. But like you said, there's a journey to this point. And I don't think we knew he was going to be Cardinal until really, you know, that was my first year here. I was, you know, really functionally a consultant. So I was not going to sit there and pound the table with a lot of opinions. But I know the outcome I was rooting for once it looked like the draft could fall a different way. And it was very great for our room and happy for us, too, when he fell to us. Just the draft fell that way that we were able to snag him at pick 7. And, you know, from day one, this guy has just, it's the same thing I said on the field the other day when they asked about him being on the club, asked about him hitting leadoff. Like, he has never given us any reason to think that that's not where he belongs, right? Like, he just has handled his business from day one. You know, he's a good player, but he's driven to get better. He's even keeled. He's a learner. Can't say enough good things about just the way that he's handled himself. You know, it's not gonna be as easy the whole way as he's made it look these first two games. There, almost every young player goes through some ups and downs. I'm sure that JJ will as well. It's just the way that he handles himself gives you confidence.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
SpringFest means more sun, more fun, and more free at Lowe's. Keep your yard in line with an additional free EGO 56-volt battery when you buy a select EGO mower, trimmer, or blower. Plus, keep landscaping fresh with Stay-Green 1-cubic-foot garden soil, 5 bags for $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4-8. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
And it's that when he does hit those rough patches, we're going to see the same guy every day. And that's really ultimately the main thing you want with young players is, do I know that the same guy's walking in the building every single day? And, you know, with all the success that he's had, we've seen the same JJ. And that's a really, really good feeling.
Dustin May against Steven Matz this afternoon, 1:15 start at Busch Stadium. Chaim Bloom joining us from the ballpark, Cardinals president of baseball operations. Thanks so much for the time, Chaim. Good luck today.
You got it. Looking forward to it.
That is Chaim Bloom. We're going to take a quick break. Tom Ackerman with you, sports on a Sunday morning. When we come back, Bernie Miklas joins us for our final segment before we take you to Cardinal baseball on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
You got to really bring it the first sports on a Sunday morning of the baseball season because you got all these Cardinals fans checking out KMOX. You got to bring a hefty lineup, Drew, and we have done that here. Steve Kelly with the Illini, Chris May with SLU. I thought that one was highly anticipated because of the Josh Schert situation, Chris Pronger. We talked about the Battlehawks and then got into Chaim Bloom and his discussion on the Cardinals, and here comes Bernie Miklas. I mean, that's a batting order I can win with. How are you, Bernie?
Well, I'm going to hope to emulate the Cardinals and like have a good two-strike approach here late in the game.
Yeah, yeah. We want you swinging aggressively at strikes. I think that's how they're doing this, too. On offense, they have if there's a strike, they're swinging.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to look at early season trends. And listen, we all know that that's all they are. And I heard you and Chaim, and of course, you know, you got to do this over 162. But it's really interesting to me, like in the first two games that they're doing what they talked about so much in spring training. Like, if you look at individual players, but if you look at the team as a whole, but if you look at some individual players, I mean, their contact rate's really good. They're, when they swing at strikes, their contact rate's very, very good. And it's not just the guys you would expect either. Like, you know who's been one of the best Cardinals hitters in the first two games? Not chasing pitches and hitting strikes. People wouldn't have never guessed it, even though it's only two games. They never would have guessed Jordan Walker would be at the top of the list. His chase rate on pitches out of the strike zone the first two games was about 8%, best on the team. And when he swung at a strike, he made contact with it, he's got like 82% contact rate when he swings at a strike. And the point is, he struggled terribly, obviously, the last couple of years in both of those areas. So it's a really good sign. It's quiet. It's a quiet type of thing. But, gosh, I just really love his the way he took his at-bats the first two games. That's all I'm saying. I'm sorry I was struggling to get the words out.
No, I totally agree. And that four-pitch walk in the 10th inning yesterday was enormous. Yeah. I mean, enormous, with the runner standing there at second base, that you can get there. And now Vic, who's playing such a great style of ball, he drops down the bunt. He's going to steal a lot of bases if he's getting on base. You can't catch him. And JJ comes through with the big hit. I mean, that's a formula for success. It really is.
And Victor Scott's another one. I mean, let's just mention him. I mean, his contact rate the first two games, 75%. On strikes, it was 90%. I mean, now, that's not going to last because that's kind of an outlier thing. But my point is, I wanted to see these guys sort of practice what they preach during spring training, right? We wanted to see if they could actually back it up and they would actually, you know, carry that effort through where this is okay. These are our priorities. This is what we got to do better. And, you know, as I like to say, because we all know it's early in the season, but what I like to say about stuff like that is, like, it's never too early to improve something that you weren't good at last year.
Yeah. Right? And yes. And I think that is JJ Weatherholt to a T. Like, I think that his mentality, from what I can tell, is what am I not doing well? Like, over and over and over. He of course, is very confident in what he can do. He wants to know what he can't do and then continue to work on that. I just think he's a player that we're going to see in this game and hopefully in St. Louis for a long, long time.
You know, he's the first rookie in the history of the franchise, his first two games in the majors, where he hit a home run in the first game, and in the second game he had a walk-off hit. No one's ever done that in a Cardinal uniform who's a rookie. And it's a cute stat. It's a cute thing because it's two games. But the point is, no rookie has ever done that who's wearing a St. Louis Cardinals uniform. Home run first game, walk-off hit second game. Tom, you and I talked about it. We've all talked about it on KMOX, and I think everybody's talked about it. But, I kept saying, like, Cardinals fans are going to love this guy, and they're probably going to love him even a little more than they anticipate. What's not to love about him, right?
No, it's very special to see. And now you get a third game out there. Weatherholt's in there. Walker's in there. It's pretty much the same lineup. We're going to get our first look at Sejacy, who I think you got to get moving a little bit, and he will, facing the lefty, Mats. I think that's a good spot for him, too. He's hitting fifth in the order today. He's right behind Mason Wynn, who is in that unusual cleanup spot. But I got Ollie's explanation on that. I really did. Didn't you?
I don't have a problem with it because I heard what you said, and I agree. I think it really is important this day and age where, you know, you go left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right as much as you can. And Heim Bloom in the construction of the roster, and obviously Ollie Marmol had a big say in the construction of the roster, especially when it comes to position players. They've got this set up really nicely early in the season where they will be able to have all kinds of platoon split advantages. And your point about Sejacy in the lineup today fits right into that. Platoon split advantages are a big deal in maybe more than ever in Major League Baseball. And so maybe because if you put the focus on getting the platoon split advantage, you know, right-handed hitter against left-handed pitcher, left-handed hitter against right-handed pitcher, it's going to give you an advantage if the more you do it over time. You know, it's not going to like happen every game you get a big advantage, but over time it'll give you an advantage. And this is the best that they've been set up in quite a long time, where they can do left, right, left, right, left, right, all the way up and down the lineup. And it's not going to happen every single game, but they're going to be able to do it a lot. The way they've set this roster up, which I think is really interesting. And I was telling some of my friends, you know, about the Mason Wynn batting cleanup thing. I said, listen, and I told him, I said, I'm applying this to myself. Okay. So I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm applying this to myself. I think we're going to see some lineups this year, a lot of lineups this year that are a bit unorthodox, that are different, that kind of go away from the typical mold, if you will. And so just roll with it. Just roll with it. I think these guys know what they're doing. Heim Bloom brought a lot of knowledge to this in terms of analytics and trends and what every number there is shows you in terms of what gives you the best probability of success. I think we're going to see some unusual things. And you know what? To me, that just makes the team more interesting to watch, because like the first two games, we weren't sure what to expect from this team. You know, we found out a lot about this team into the first two games, and it made the team more interesting to see what they were, some of the things they were trying to do and some of the things they did better, like hit 300 in the first two games on two strike counts, second best in the majors so far. So prepare for, I'm not going to say abnormal things, but I'm going to say prepare for different things when we see lineup construction, things like that.
What do you make of the bullpen construction? So you've had Swanson pitch the sixth inning, he gave up three runs. You've had Swanson right. pitch the ninth inning, he gave up three runs. So where do you see the bullpen at the moment?
All right. You know me. I'm Mr. Stat Boy, irritatingly so at times, right?
No.
But I went back and looked, because my recollection was that the bullpen got smacked around a bit early last year. And sure enough, the first week of the season, last season, the Cardinals bullpen ERA was over seven runs. And the first month or so, they ranked about 21st, 22nd in bullpen ERA. And then they reorganized some things. My point is, I think the talent down there is good. I do think there are some questions that maybe weren't there last year. You know, I want to see, you know, can they have a good second, number two lefty reliever? You know, that's one of the things, a question that's going to have to be answered. But the way Matt Swanson pitched last year, you know, the fact that he's off to a rough start, I mean, I certainly, there's no freak out factor with me, because I saw it last year. Their relievers got hit hard early in the season and became one of the best bullpens in baseball the rest of the way.
Bernie, I have 2 minutes left, so I'm sure SLU fans want to get your opinion on this. We had Chris May on today. He told us he's not heard anything further on Josh Schertz, and he did indicate that they are prepared, as they should be, one way or the other. If he were to go to NC State, which he acknowledged he's had a conversation with, or if he were to come back. How do you analyze the situation with Josh Schertz and this SLU basketball program?
Number one, I hope he doesn't go. You know, number two, as you said, SLU will step up and do whatever they have to do again. Number three, you know, Josh Schertz has said many times that he sees SLU as a place where can be a destination job for a coach, where you can build, that everything's in place to build a Gonzaga type program here. So all of that sounds good, but here's what it comes down to, Tom. And I know a lot of people agree with me, whether it's Josh Schertz or the coach anywhere else. I can't stand this system. I just can't stand it, because people will say, like I will say, well, listen, he just agreed to a contract. This is true of any coach. If you just agreed to a contract a week ago, roughly, why would you be talking to another school? And the answer is, well, those contracts have buyouts in them. They have buyouts in them. So the coach isn't doing anything wrong. Well, the buyouts are worthless and meaningless. They mean nothing, because if a team wants to take another team's coach, they'll pay the buyout. And the buyouts are negotiated in with the understanding that it'll give the coach the freedom to go whenever he wants to go, whether it's Josh Schertz or whomever. I can't stand that system, man. I mean, you sign a contract. No, you shouldn't have to. It's like you shouldn't have to like stay for, you know, 2 years or something like that. But could we have this thing, the new contract, could we have it less than more like, say, 10 days?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It does. It is frustrating. And something has to change there without question. Bernie, we're going to head in about 20 seconds to Cardinal Baseball, but you're the best. Read him online, watch him on YouTube, and of course, he's on the Gas House Gang, Rush Hour, and everything else on KMOX. Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling and Stewart's American Mortgage. Love you, buddy. Have a great Sunday.
Always great to be with you, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Bernie Miklas with us. What a show. Now it's up to the Cardinals Radio Network, and they're next. We can't wait to hear them all. John, Ricky, Claves, Jim Jackson, Joe Pott, next.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Springfest is happening now at Lowe's. Keep the spotlight on your yard with Stay-Green Premium 2-cubic-foot mulch, 5 bags for $10. Plus, when you want more help indoors, get up to 40% off select major appliances that help you supercharge your chores. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid to 422 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
How would you describe yourself? Fun, sporty, bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.